Turn, if you would, this evening in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Brother Bruce, did you recently preach from Psalm 90? I was thinking you did recently, maybe.
A while back.
Pardon?
A while back.
Yeah, I was thinking so, but tonight I want us to return to the book of Psalms, chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. And I'm going to have us this evening to just focus on one verse in this precious psalm. Now, you're aware tonight that Psalm 90 is authored under inspiration by Moses. Psalm 90, of course, would be the oldest one of the psalms. Moses is ascribed to be the human author, the human penman of the book of Psalms, as far as chapter 90. Psalm 90 is a psalm that has to do with the subject of life, you might say. It's you kind of sense that you're in a schoolhouse when you read Psalm 90. And I want to prove my point by having us to look at one verse this evening. There's one verse in particular that I want us to look at, verse number 12, where the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We look at this one verse of this psalm, and in our minds, we kind of get the thought of a schoolhouse scenario, being in a schoolhouse, because it does use the word teach, you know, teach us to number our days. Now, the author of this psalm was a tremendous student himself. Moses was a student. Moses was a serious student. He had learned the sciences of Egypt. He had grown up, you might say, in the household of Pharaoh. He had developed wisdom in the ways of the Egyptians. He was certainly not a slouchy person as far as a student himself. He is dealing with a very serious subject when you look at verse number 12, serious subject. He reflects upon his mortality. He said, "Teach us to number our days." So he's dwelling upon the thought of mortality. And in this particular verse, he is giving a thought towards living right rather than just, you know, living right rather than just existing. That's the thought of verse number 12. It has the idea of living right, doing the right thing rather than simply existing. Too many people are doing nothing but existing. They're just living, that's it. But Moses would deal with something deeper than that, more grand than that, something that is far more than just living and existence. He was selected by God, as we well know, students of Scriptures in this church. You folks are students of Scripture. You know that he was selected by God to lead his people out of bondage, to lead Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And Israel was subjected to a school scenario during the wilderness wanderings. They were constantly being taught. They were learning lessons about God. They were learning lessons about God's redemptive plan. When they got into the wilderness, when Moses created or put before the people various types, like the serpent lifted up, various types. The people were being taught, were being subjected, were learning redemptive truths in type. And you know this, you know that redemption is not just a New Testament thing. You know it's a Bible thing. In the Old Testament, and we've mentioned this many times, you had the types, you had the tabernacle. You had the stage being set, you might say, for the coming of Christ himself. Now, Moses was, you might say, somewhat of a schoolmaster. He teaches the people. And then he writes here, "So teach us to number our days." He, as a schoolmaster, it's kind of interesting. We know that he was associated with the law. But the law itself was a schoolmaster that led to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster. The law brought to people just a certain point, but Christ is a fulfillment. The schoolhouse Think about this tonight. We're talking here. My message title is called The Schoolhouse of Grace. The Schoolhouse of Grace. There was a schoolhouse of law, you might say. During the Old Testament days, a schoolhouse of law. The schoolhouse of law, and here's something, here's a way you might make a comparison. You know, if a person goes off to school, you may go to college, then you may go to graduate school or master's, get a master's degree. You may go on and get a postmaster, a graduate degree or a doctorate degree. And when it comes to that idea now, you have an undergraduate, a graduate, a postgraduate, let's say. And I'm just kind of talking, you know, throwing out here how it is in the academic world. But now, if you compare the schoolhouse of the law with the schoolhouse of grace, you could say in a sense that the schoolhouse of law was somewhat of an undergraduate degree, but the schoolhouse of grace is the graduate degree. Everything was heading towards grace, towards development. Now, going to school, being schooled, being educated, is an expensive thing. Education, by the way, is always at someone else's expense, as well as our own. College is not cheap. It's not cheap. Someone had to fund it. Think about all the young people today that are in college. Many of them do not have to work. Many of them were just blessed or given the opportunity by parents that had the means and the ability to provide for them their college tuition. So, but sometimes, unfortunately, many people do take for granted. They are not as thankful as they should be for the fact that, of what they're receiving out of someone else's pocket. So education, by the way, is not cheap. Someone had to provide it. Someone had to provide for it. I'm thinking back in my old college days when I was in Bible college. Y'all know tonight Carol put me through school. She had a large part to do in it. Now, I can remember those days, though. You know, I had to work and go to school and so forth, and that's what Brother Bruce did when he's at Piedmont too. But I had to use my hands as well. I'll never forget walking up people's door, knocking on the door. They'd come to the door. I'd say, "Full of brush with a gift for you." I sold full of brush. I can remember working at the Top Value stamp store. Somebody asked me what I did for a living at Top Value. I said, "I licked stamps all day." Not really, but I did work at Top Value. Then I think of Sears. So, you know, education is at someone else's expense. Now's where I make my transition. Do you know when it comes to the schoolhouse of grace, you and I that are in the schoolhouse of grace tonight are in that schoolhouse because of someone else paying the expense. And you know who that was. We're saved tonight because Jesus paid the expense for our education in the schoolhouse of grace. It cost the very best that God had to offer in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, tonight, in this building, I know all of you well. I know your testimonies. So I'm assuming tonight, I have very good reasons to believe, based upon your testimony, that everybody that's here tonight is saved. I don't know about those that might be listening online. If you're not, you come to the right place at the right time. You can sure get it settled. But you and I this evening need to be good students. We need to be wise in the ways of God. Christians need to be good students in the schoolhouse of grace. We need to be wise in the stewardship of life. That's what that verse is basically saying. The stewardship of life. We need to number our days, that we apply our hearts into wisdom. Good stewards in the stewardship of life. Now, Moses was wise in the ways of Egypt. We need to number our days. And if you follow the verse to the end, we need to number our days and derive wisdom. Number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to get wise. In the schoolhouse of grace, we need to be wise Christians. Life itself is a learning experience. That's what life is. Everything we do is a learning experience in some way. We're learning. We start out with the basics. Babies learn to crawl. Babies learn to walk. Babies learn to talk. Why? Because babies, as human beings, are created in the image of God. So God designed that human beings grow up, learn, develop, and go forward in the developmental process. I have a great grandbaby that I know the church knows about. And that great grandbaby, and I'm making a point tonight. It's always easy. Brother Mike can agree with this. Isn't it easy, Brother Mike, to use an illustration with your grandkids? Brother Mike has some grandkids. All of you do. So I have a great grandbaby. I'll use it as an illustration. Who is a member of the fraternity of the terrible twos. She's not two yet, but she's in that basic fraternity because she's got all the characteristics of those that are in the fraternity of the terrible twos. At her age, she's now walking. She's touching everything she sees. She darts around the house. She, not long ago, came to visit us. Morgan brought Morgan Hunter and brought Emery in. And there's not a thing that her little hands are not touching. She's everywhere in every place. You know, a child that age reminds me of a ricochet bullet. Hitting everything. You know, ding, 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 ding. I mean, everything in the house. It takes a week to get the house back in order after a two-year-old child has been in your home. Now, about maybe 3 weeks ago, we visited the church, my granddaughter brought Emery. And by the way, Carol's not a very good example of that baby either. Carol looked over at Emery and winked. And Emery winked back at her. Now, neither one of them were getting a thing out of the service, I guarantee you. But try to get serious here. You know, life is about learning. We learn as human beings. We all are, by the way, if we want to be get humbled this evening, every single one of us were in that terrible two fraternity ourselves at one time in our lives. Now, some things in this schoolhouse of life, we learn, yes, by experience. We learn also some things by sin nature that are not good at all, like kicking the slats of the crib to get you away as a baby. We learn how to be, and I'm talking about how sin nature even gives some poor instruction. We learn how to be spoiled brats because many times we had good teachers. Y'all ever known a child that was a spoiled brat? Well, you might want to remember when you were a baby or a child. But you know, here's the point I want to make tonight, and I do have the ability to get serious at some point. I'm just trying to pave my way a little bit here to help us a little bit this evening. It's kind of hard to get anybody's attention on a night like this when it's cold and now it's warm inside, and then the first thing we want to do is take a nap, so it's kind of hard, you know. But you know, it'll take eternity, I believe, to fully understand the fullest extent of the privilege of being a student in the schoolhouse of grace. I believe it's going to take an eternity to fully comprehend how precious it really is. Now, verse 12, by application, I believe that verse 12 offers means of progress in development in the schoolhouse of grace. It tells us how we can make progress. What do we see in verse number 12? Well now, again think about a school situation. I see in this verse, and I'll give you a quick outline up front. I see the primary teacher, number one, the primary teacher. Moses said, teach us. Who's the primary teacher? It's God. Moses saying basically, Lord, you teach us. So the primary teacher is God. Number two, I see the particular students. He said this. He said, so teach us. Us. Now, a little bit could be said about the particular student there, us. Teach us. And I'll say a few things about it in just a moment. Then we see the practical study method. The practical study method. Notice this. To number our days. That's the practical study method, to number our days. Then note this. We see this, that we may apply our hearts. There we have the personal application. What good is education if it doesn't, at some point in time, find application? Education that doesn't find application is leaving you short-handed. So we see here the practical application, that we may apply. The word apply is actually used. That we may apply. And then notice this, the priority achievement goal, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's a priority achievement goal. Get wise. Learn in the schoolhouse of grace to the point to where we get wise. Now, what is wisdom? I'll comment on that in just a few moments. But now notice this. Let's go back to the first point here real quickly. Moses said, so teach us, the primary teacher, the Lord. He asked God to teach him. He depended on the Lord for his instruction. If I can kind of deviate a little bit from the thought here to kind of illustrate my point here. You know, when a person loves and respects the teacher, they will always tend to respect the teacher's instruction. Think back when you were in school. If you really loved your teacher, if you really, you know, liked your teacher, you found it easier to be taught, didn't you? Isn't that true of human nature? If you don't like someone, there's a general rule you're not going to be too prone to listen to them. So I think that's a, critical thing there. When we love and respect a teacher, we respect the teacher's instruction. You know, teachers, by the way, I'm talking about even in the schools, they're certified, they're qualified to teach. And we're interested to learn from them. When we know that, when we like them, when we know they're good, when we know they're qualified, when they know they love their students, well, we want to learn. We want to learn. Now, okay, here's where I'm going with this. We're in the schoolhouse of grace, are we not? Our primary teacher is the Lord. And it's easy to want to listen to Him because we love Him, don't we? We're interested in what our teacher teaches us because we love our teacher. We love the Lord. I mean, loving the Lord, loving who He is, it makes us want to just hear more from Him and learn more from Him and just follow Him more because He's a good teacher. And I believe that Moses had that attitude toward the Lord. He said, so teach us. He had learned in his days in Egypt. He had seen what God had done. So he wants to be taught. We sit under the tutorship of the world and didn't get a thing out of it. You know, I listened to the world's teaching for too long myself. It didn't help me at all. In fact, the world doesn't give any good advice at all, basically. And, you know, we can't gain anything of worthwhile wisdom or knowledge from listening to the world because the world doesn't have our best interest. We're interested in our teacher, the Lord Jesus. And that makes us interested in the subject matter. Since we love Him, we're wanting to know what He has for us. We know that the more, and here's another point I want to make tonight, the more that we learn of Him, the better we'll learn the subject. You know, isn't it amazing? Think about that for just a moment. The more we learn of our teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we'll learn of the subject. In other words, a deeper knowledge of Him gives us a deeper knowledge of the subject. That's amazing. Now, in an academic setting, that's not true. I'm talking about in the world, you can have a good teacher, and it's not always true. The more you know of the teacher, the more you're going to learn of the subject. But with God, it's different. Like the psalmist. By the way, the psalmist even expressed that. He expressed the fact he wanted to learn more about the ways of the Lord. In fact, listen to this. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I'll walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. Then he said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Paul put it in his own way. He said that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Which leads me to say tonight that we really buckle down and learn the subject matter when we learn more about our teacher. More about Jesus would I learn, like the old song says. So the more we learn about our master teacher, the more we want to learn about the subject he's teaching. You know what's true about our teacher? He loves us. You know what else is true about our teacher? He's faithful to us. He's forgiving. He's kind. His ways are wonderful. That's true about our teacher. Now, that I find it easy to want to learn more from him, even in the subject matter that he's trying to teach me to be a better Christian in this life. I find myself complying a lot quicker to his instruction, knowing that since he loves me and is faithful, that he'll never ask me to do anything but what won't be good for me. So knowing more about him makes me more interested in what he wants to teach me. So now coming back to this, and I've got to hurry here. Secondly, notice the particular students. We notice the teacher, you know, teach us, that's the Lord. Notice the particular students, teach us, talk about us. Now I will mention, We get the idea here of particular students. Particular students. Teach us. Now who are the students? Moses is speaking about his people, of course. You know, he says, teach us. He's talking about, the Jewish people. Talk about Israel. He's talking about his people. So the particular students, the us, quote unquote, they're qualified. And here's a good point. They are qualified to be teachable by virtue of who they were. I mean, Israel would be qualified to be teachable because they are God's covenant people. And they can relate to what they are to be taught. They are teachable by virtue of who they are. Now, let's transition that into where we are this evening. The child of God. We are teachable in the things of God. There was a time we weren't, but we now are. You see, we're teachable. Christians are teachable. The people of God are teachable. We've been trained up, you might say, to be teachable. We've been put in place to be teachable. Now, think back. Can you remember a time in your life when the things of God didn't interest you? You probably wonder what I'm looking for. Anybody have an idea? Looking for a handkerchief. But since I don't have one, I won't worry about it, okay? Carol let down on me tonight. She failed to stick a handkerchief. Apology. When all else fails, blame your wife, right? Y'all remember a time when you didn't have an interest in things of God? Do y'all remember a time when you didn't want to come to church? You didn't have a reason to come? You just didn't like to go to church? You didn't like to be around church people? Can y'all remember a time when the Bible was just totally closed to your attention? didn't have any interest in it. Can you remember that time? Okay, when was that time? Was it before or after you were saved? It was before. If anybody would have said after you were saved, I was going to say to you, wrong answer. No, you know why? Because you weren't teachable. You didn't have what it took to be teachable. And here's what I mean. Can I give you a good verse? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you." Now, that's strange. That sounds like a contradiction. But always read the context. Context was, John's basically saying, you don't have to be under the mercy of false teachers. You have the anointing. You're saved. You have the Spirit of God. You don't have to be under the control of false teachers. You can make your own decisions based upon the truth of the Word of God because your eyes have been opened. So you've had the anointing. So here's the point. Let me keep reading. "The same anointing teacheth you in all things and is truth. And is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." So the child of God is teachable because we have been saved. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the anointing, you might say. We have the ability to be taught spiritual truths because spiritual truths are only taught by the Spirit of God. When it comes to real spiritual truths pertaining to redemptive truths in Christ and the Bible and so forth. So this evening, to put it kind of short, we love the teacher. We know the language. We're interested in the subject. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes us teachable this evening. That's a particular student I'm talking about. All of us tonight that are saved are particular students. That's a blessing. No wonder, look around you. No wonder the things of God and the subject matter that God teaches is dull and boring and even resented by many today. This world today does not have any respect for the Bible towards the things of God. I'm talking about outside of Christendom. I'm talking about unsaved people. That's the reason why the Bible's resented. People curse God and people live ungodly lives and they'll dodge church services and not care about being around the people of God. I'll tell you why. Because they're not teachable. They're not able to be. They're unsaved people. But salvation gives us an interest because we have the Holy Spirit. So we make up what you would call particular students. Now the Bible says a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. There you have it. The natural unsaved person, they're not teachable. Now thirdly, notice this evening. The practical study method now. Number our days. What does that mean? I believe this has to do with a practical day-by-day life lived with knowledge of the value of each minute, each hour, and each day. Number our days. I believe that has to do with making the day, count the days as valuable. Count them as precious. Live them in light of eternity. The numbering of our days, by the way, and I need to point this out, it's not so much about an interest in quantity of days as it is quality of days. To number our days, that's talking about adding quantity, not counting them in terms of adding quality, not counting them in terms of quantity. Count value in each day. To number our days means to live it for the glory of God. Make it count. A practical approach to learning in life is to be aware of what we are to learn and aware of the brevity of time to learn it. Have you ever heard it said that a person has book sense but no common sense? That can be true. Well now, Christians who develop in a schoolhouse of grace. They are able to not only have common sense, but practicality as well. To be able to relate. He says, number your days. To be able to relate. In other words, a Christianity that does not translate into shoe leather, that does not have practical value in living our lives on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute basis, it's missing. Christians are to have practicality. I mean, yes, we can stand up and give a testimony meeting and say, thank God I'm going to heaven. But another, we ought to follow up with a statement. How am I living on planet Earth right now, though? How's my life right now counting for God? You know, we grow better in the schoolhouse of grace when our learning is matched with living in light of our brief time. Numbering our days. And then, number four. Notice this, we see a personal application that we may apply our hearts. Apply our hearts. What you can see that I'm doing here is simply taking this one verse and I'm just breaking it down. That's what it is. You might call this an exposition of one verse. Every word has something to say here. Notice, personal apply our hearts. We hear it said sometime that a student needs to apply themselves. You ever known a kid that sent them off to school? They say, now that person just didn't apply themselves too well. They flunked. Well, I didn't apply myself very well at all. I mean, you all know my track record when it comes to the academic world, pre-salvation life experience. I floundered around. My teachers loved me so much, one or two times, they kept me around 2 years in the same grade. Hey, I'm not proud of that tonight, but I'll say this though, when I did get saved, I've been in school ever since. I mean, it's just a matter of application. It's not the fact that people can't learn. Some people just don't want to. And that's where I used to be. But anyway, talks about someone will say they need to apply themselves. Well, God's Word says apply your hearts. See how that reads. Apply your hearts. Doesn't say apply your hands or apply your eyes, but apply your hearts. That gets down deep there. That's not talking about the organ that pumps blood. The heart is the seat of the emotions, the intellect, and the will. That's what the heart is considered to be by theologians. You know, they'll talk about the spiritual heart. So, actually what you can do with this, when Moses says apply your hearts, I can see how you can practically state that. In other words, give it all you got. When you apply your hearts, you're giving it all you got. You are. That's the seat of the emotions, intellect, and will. We get more, we learn more, and we accomplish more for God when we give it all we got. And that doesn't stop with aging. You know, giving it all you got doesn't stop with aging. What we do, we may refocus our energies. We may do that. But we still don't slack learning. We don't slack growing. We don't slack maturing. Now, I can tell you tonight, let me give a post-retirement testimony. Could I do that? There's never been a time in my life that I've ever enjoyed studying the Word of God more than I do now. I mean that. There's never been a time that I enjoyed preaching any more than I do now. So I'm just trying to say that's just my testimony. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is we continue till we die giving it all we got. We may refocus our energies. But we love the Lord. We keep serving Him. We keep doing these things. We just got to do that. And that's how we are to develop in the schoolhouse of grace. A preacher one time was in Switzerland. He visited a cemetery where many of the great mountain climbers had been buried. He saw one interesting tombstone. He saw it written on one tombstone. Here's what it said about a person that was buried there at that particular site trying to climb that mountain. He said he didn't die. I don't know if this is a very good English word here, but maybe you can get the gist of what it's saying. He said he didn't die luxuriating. In other words, point is, he didn't die in luxury. He didn't die luxuriating. He didn't die hibernating. He didn't die procrastinating. He died dedicating. He died climbing. You see, that's how it should be tonight. We should die climbing. We should give it all we got. Notice, apply our hearts. Keep applying our hearts until God takes us home. So in closing tonight, coming to my final point, we see the primary student or primary teacher teach us, talking about God. The particular student, us. The practical study method, apply our hearts. The personal application, apply our hearts. Or I missed something. Number our days. Thank you, Cheryl. Number our days, the practical study method, the personal application, apply our hearts, and then finally, the priority achievement goal unto wisdom. May I say tonight that wisdom is one of the most beautiful garments in the Christian's wardrobe of character. One of the most beautiful garments. A heart applied to wisdom will be a heart, will be a life lived day by day like it was our last day. When our hearts are applied to wisdom, we will take each day and make it special, knowing that it could be our last day. It will mean a life lived with a desire to balance all of our books and reconcile all of our differences. To apply our hearts into wisdom will be a heart applied to wisdom. It will be a heart wise about. Wise about. Our relationship with God. Our relationship with people. Our relationship with good, solid Christian character. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge in shoe leather. That's what it is. Wisdom is applied knowledge in a practical way. It's knowledge applied. It is knowledge that extends outside, I'm talking now about a Christian, it extends outside of doctrine and it gets into the area of deportment. That's wisdom. So, in closing tonight, come back to what we said earlier. Teach us, knowing who God is, He's loving, He's kind, He's considerate, He's forgiving. If I've got a wise heart, then I'll seek by His good help to duplicate everything I can about Him. I want to be like Him. Christian, by the way, means is Christ-like, right? I want to be like Him. Like Him. Down through the years, I've run into a lot of strange people, folks. I've run into people that can quote you the Bible like old Jack Van Impe years ago. And I mean, they know Bible, they know doctrine, they know all this good stuff, but to some of those very same people that I know were unkind, unforgiving, always held something over someone if they didn't like them. And I have a problem with that from the biblical standpoint, because after all, wisdom will make me and you want to be more like Jesus every single day. So to apply our hearts into wisdom is to take all the grand truths that we know about in the Bible and then apply them into our lives, numbering our days. And then when people are in our presence, they're going to see someone that's genuine, that's real, that knows how to forgive, knows how to be kind. One of the worst blights, I believe, that ever hurt the fundamentalist movement has been, I don't know too much right now in this day and time, but I come up in a time, they talked about those fighting fundamentalists. I mean, they were like a snake in dog days. They'd strike at everything that moved. They were more defined by what they were against than what they're for. And some of those very same people, I've known this as a fact. They were unkind, ungrateful. They didn't learn to balance their back book, so to speak. And they didn't learn to get over their differences and to apologize to people and make things right. But when we're applying our hearts into wisdom, the teacher that we love, we're going to not only be interested in the subject matter, but we're going to want to be more like him the longer we live until we go home. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for this wonderful passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we go through the schoolhouse of grace, help us, dear Lord, to take some of these things and apply them. And help us to be a better Christian. If there's someone listening this evening, don't know who it might be, it could be someone right now that's tuned into this online service, Facebook or YouTube, perhaps. They cannot honestly remember time. They humbled their heart and bowed their head and asked God to save them, knowing they were a sinner. So I pray they would get saved. Father, I pray that every Christian here and out there this evening would pull some great truths from this verse and just help us all to be a better student in the schoolhouse of grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.